I'm Steve Kraske, and this is KCUR's Up to Date. Controversy erupted when St. Anne's Catholic School in Prairie Village denied admittance to a child whose parents are a same-sex couple. The decision sparked petitions both for and against allowing the child to attend. Today, the reasoning behind the denial, the worries it has caused among both straight and gay members of the church, and a look at the hierarchy of the Catholic Church that prevents congregants from having a greater say in the affairs of their parishes. We'll talk with a former student from St. Anne's who's now in a same-sex relationship and has a child in Catholic school, a lesbian who was fired from a church-run food pantry, and a religion journalist. We'll get you up to date after this hour's news. The controversy rages on at St. Anne Parish and School in Prairie Village. It was there that church leaders recently banned a kindergartner from attending the school. Why? The kindergartner is the child of a same-sex couple. At least 2,000 have now signed a petition opposing the decision, and the story has gained national media attention. Meantime, an opposing petition has picked up the signatures of more than 7,000 people. Catholic leaders, including Archbishop Joseph Naumann and the pastor of St. Anne, the Reverend Craig Maxim, have weighed in. In a column, the Archbishop wrote that the primary purpose of parochial schools like St. Anne is to help Catholic parents form their children in the faith. Allowing a child from a same-sex couple to attend a school detracts from that mission, Archbishop Naumann said. Well, we're interested in your reactions to this news. Did the Archdiocese do the right thing in denying admission to the child? Where do you come down on this issue? Our number 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR Up to Date. I want to begin our conversation this morning with Tom Roberts. He's the executive editor of the National Catholic Reporter based here in Kansas City. Tom, welcome back. Nice to have you here.
Great to be here, Steve.
We asked the Archdiocese to provide us with a panelist today, but it declined the invitation. Tom, what's the latest on this controversy? What's been happening in recent days here?
Well, I think the big event is the competing petitions.
Yeah. Right?
And I don't know where that ends. I think the people in the parish who are opposed to that decision have issued a smart statement, and that is part of the petition. The other side cites church teaching and the rationale of the diocese, and that's about where it will be. The bishop in this case, and in every case, is the ultimate arbiter of what happens in his diocese, and that's probably where this gets stuck and will stay. But I think nationally, and what's interesting in this case is that nationally what's interesting is that we have other ways that bishops have viewed this, including Cardinal O'Malley in Boston. We've written an editorial that cites two occasions about 10 years ago where there were very similar incidences in the Diocese of Denver, the Archdiocese of Boston, the Archdiocese of Denver under then Bishop Chaput there sided with a pastor who kept the child out because the parents were gay. In Boston, Cardinal O'Malley said, no, we don't do that. We don't keep children out of school.
So you're explaining why we can have different policies in different dioceses, because you're saying the bishop is the ultimate arbiter here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's just how it works in the Catholic Church.
Well, that's how it works today. One of the interesting dynamics that I think, and I don't want to bring in another huge issue, but it's part of this scene. I think one of the things that has emerged from the awful sex abuse scandal is this kind of stripping away of the myth that we all agree on everything and that even bishops agree. They don't. And in this case, there's bishops have found a pastoral way to see this on different sides of an issue. And There are serious arguments on either side because the church does have this teaching. There's also pastoral considerations, and as we pointed out in the editorial, is the archdiocese here doing the moral inventory of every parent who brings kids to school and things you can't see? Are they applying the most rigorous church teaching and application to every element of life? And if they are, I don't know how full your schools are going to be with anybody.
Interesting. That raises a question. Do we know how the church found out that this child had a same-sex couple, same-sex parents?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. No. We just don't have a
feel for that. I don't know that.
Yeah. Do we have any sense, Tom, do archbishops, bishops ever change their minds on these things given the response from parishioners?
No, I don't think that is a compelling argument for an archbishop, especially, Archbishop Naumann, I think, is correctly situated. We can situate him on the pretty far right side of the ecclesial and theological spectrum, and he's pretty set. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. But we've also had instances, and I think it's fair to point out and good to point out, for instance, in San Diego, a number of months ago, there was a church worker who was in a gay marriage who was really being harassed by far-right elements, both in the wider culture and certainly in the church. And there, Bishop McElroy stood with this man. And one of his quotes was, I think, telling. He said, if the church eliminated all the employees who are not living out the teachings of the church in its fullness, we would be employing only angels. I think this is likewise we can say that if we accepted only into our institutions those people who were in perfect alignment with every church teachings, we'd have a lot of empty institutions and I dare say not more than a few empty bishops' residences.
The controversy at St. Anne Parish in Prairie Village is our topic this morning. Our phone number, 816-235-2888, option 2, is to tweet us at KCUR up to date. Clinton from Olathe, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, with the United Methodist Church and kind of the rejection that the LGBT community is feeling, and I am a member of the LGBT community, we have to forget that these are centuries of doctrine that have been established that do not recognize nor support what they would consider, quote unquote, our chosen lifestyle. And so the values that we hold dear aren't necessarily in alignment with the values of the church and where they are going. So this idea of the full inclusion of it is the surprising, shocking factor of the way that the church is doing it is like, this shouldn't be a surprising, shocking factor because these are doctrines that you're going to have to change centuries of the taboo that is still around the LGBT community. And you want to change it, and it should be changed. But how long is this battle and this fight going to go on for the acceptance of it? And is it going to be, within our lifetime? So we'd have to go back and change doctrines before we would get to the full inclusion and the acceptance of that LGBT community in the church. And so you have to find ways of alternative ways to be able to form your own churches, your own spiritual organizations and schools as well. And that's a sad factor, but I often wanted the dialogue with my fellow LGBT community members that where does it go from here? What can we do to start establishing our own?
It's interesting, Clinton and Tom, she raises such an interesting point, this idea that inclusion for LGBTQ folks has been happening at a relatively fast pace when you consider the expanse of history that Clinton is referring to. The church, not expressing a lot of hope, the church is going to change anytime soon here.
No. I mean, this is still a church that has an all-male celibate leadership with no women in important decision-making positions. It takes a decision as a Catholic to stay and to say, we'll confront those issues and keep going. We know not just from recent polls, which are expressive, but polls before that, that a lot of people are walking, and for a number of reasons. But some of these issues are certainly the reasons they're walking.
I was going to say, what do we know about recent attendance in the church, given the scandals involving priests and young children, given this issue? What's happening to church membership across the country and across the world, for that matter?
I don't know about across the world. In this country, it's hard to—we've really made attempts to track that. The most recent data we have, and I don't have the figures in my head, is a recent Gallup poll, which says that attendance is down. People have been walking. There's another organization called the Center for Applied Research in the Apostolate, CARA, which is attached to Georgetown University, and they keep track of figures, but they don't have this year's yet. We've been bugging them regularly to find out if there's been a drop. But I think you'll find it a drop nationally because of the issues.
Let's go to Michael from Kansas City, Missouri. Michael, you're on the air.
Hello, Steve. I am a Catholic. I have not been attending church. I did go to the seminary when I was younger. I think this reflects very poorly on the Catholic Church. Some of the values of the church include family and the respect of the family unit, and to essentially discard a family in this way, and especially a child, for God's sake, it reflects so poorly on the Catholic Church. If the Church really intends, I consider myself a Catholic and I will always be a Catholic. I call myself a belly button Catholic. But frankly, until the Church finds its proper way, I'm not going.
Hmm. Michael, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Nate from Kansas City, Missouri. Nate, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you. Yeah.
I have an opinion on this. I would like to know the church's stance on how they're going to evolve to the new world that we live in, and same-sex couples are a very large part of that. I'm curious to know if there's any wiggle room for them to start evolving to accommodate the world we live in today.
Nate, thank you. And Tom, if I'm hearing you right, I'm hearing that the answer to that probably is no.
Well, I'm not going to say that there's no chance for what Nate calls evolution. We do have a pope who, when confronted with a question about, I think it was a gay priest, said, people who are in pursuit of God, who am I to judge? I also, the evolution of the church is quite slow, and I think that there are communities where practice is quite different, where people are, considering these issues. I also think the church, if I can have a minute here, is stuck with its own huge problem, which involves, the sex abuse problem is symptomatic of much deeper problems in that clerical culture and hierarchical culture, and they're not near getting to the solution on that. So these other matters are stuck, and it's rather ironic to some also that a church stuck with this awful scandal of sexually abused children should be taking this kind of a stand, where a lot of people think that archbishops and bishops should be in prayer and thanks that people are still sending their children to Catholic institutions.
Yeah. If you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date. We're talking about the controversy that's raging on at St. Anne Parish and School in Prairie Village, where church leaders recently barred a kindergartner from attending the school because her parents are a same-sex couple. I want to bring two other voices into our conversation now. Karen is a former student at St. Anne's who's now in a same-sex relationship. Her daughter attends school in another parish within the diocese. We're not using Karen's real name here today. Karen, welcome to you. Nice to have you.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Colleen Simon was fired from a Kansas City Catholic food pantry in 2014 after her same-sex marriage became known. She's now an engagement coordinator for St. Andrew's Episcopal Church here in town. Colleen, nice to have you too.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Both of you have experience with the politics of same-sex marriages and the Catholic Church in the Kansas City area. Karen, what was your reaction to this move by the church to remove the kindergartner, not really remove, but to bar the kindergartner from the school?
It made me really sad for this couple. I actually attended St. Anne's third through eighth grade, and this was back in the 90s, and my father was gay, and I attended this school. So for them to bar this child from going to the school and, you know, not, I mean, I went there and my brother for a long time, and my dad was gay, and we did not hide it. We did not flaunt it either, but this was the 90s when it wasn't as accepted back then as well.
Why was it allowed, your attendance there allowed to continue?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure.
Did it ever become an issue?
No, it never became an issue to my understanding. Mm-hmm. Now, my dad has since passed, and I haven't really spoke to my mom in length about it. I don't know if my parents were confronted about it ultimately, but to my understanding, they were not.
You know, what do you say to folks listening to this conversation who might conclude that, hey, the rules inside the Catholic Church are pretty well known? The notion that this child could not attend this school can't be that big of a surprise to anybody. So what's the big hullabaloo about?
You know, I don't know how to answer that.
Rules are rules, they might conclude.
Right. If rules are rules, though, then why was I able to go there? Mm-hmm. And why is my child currently able to attend a Catholic school? That's my question.
Yeah. Colleen, I want to bring you in here. Again, you were fired from a Kansas City Catholic food pantry after your same-sex marriage became known. What do you make of this controversy?
Well, I have to agree with Tom that this is not the way that we would hope the Catholic Church would react to children, particularly in these troubling times in the church, that if you go back to Scripture, suffer the little children to come unto me. Jesus was about love and about relationship. So I am saddened personally that they have chosen this route, and I wish it were different. I would say that I somewhat agree with Clinton, the first caller, that there are laws, but I think it's the fair application of law. And as Tom mentioned, if you fairly applied law across the board for children going to school, as well as clerics, as well as other positions, then the church would be in a world of trouble, because who is the perfect one among us that we, you know, can throw a stone, frankly.
So you wonder why the church would bend over backwards to make a point in this case, then, it sounds like.
Particularly.
Yeah.
Particularly.
Yeah.
What sin has the child committed?
But the notion that rules are rules, you would respond to that how?
Rules seem to be arbitrary in government as well as in church. And the ones they choose to enforce, as you pointed out earlier, Tom, that different bishops have ruled different ways on this as to whether a child can attend or not. So Archbishop Naumann can certainly fall back on canon law on this, but is this God's law?
I'm wondering about your own case, if you can tell us, you know, you were fired from a Kansas City Catholic food pantry a few years ago after your own same-sex marriage became known. What happened to you?
Well, in my interviewing with that parish, I made known prior to submitting my application that I was a lesbian. And as the interviewing process progressed, I also let the pastor know that I was married and that my spouse was a clergy in the Lutheran church and that we were well known in the community. And would that be a problem? And I was assured that it would not be. So it wasn't that I hid it or that I was in the closet. I just, you know, I was very frank with them and they said it would be okay.
What happened then?
Oh, a nice article came out in 816 in the Kansas City Star regarding the wonderful things that were happening on Troost, of which our pantry was one of them. And my wife's church was also profiled as to the work that they were doing in community organizing. And for some unknown reason, the writer decided to put under my picture and her picture and in the article that wasn't it surprising that we were married. And an article was sent to the bishop, is my understanding, and I was forthwith fired.
As a food pantry worker.
That was...
The stand was made.
Yeah.
Were you surprised?
I can't say that I was surprised because I obviously knew enough to ask before I applied for the job whether that was going to cause any problems and was assured it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it was.
You know, Karen, Colleen, I'm just wondering from both of your standpoints, what is these incidents like at St. Anne's Parish, what does that do to your faith?
I don't know how to answer that.
Tough, eh?
It is tough. I mean, my faith stands strong, but I'm saddened that that the Catholic community would single out this family.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Are you still a practicing Catholic?
I am a practicing Catholic, not like I was. I don't really attend church anymore, but I do support my daughter in her faith right now. So,
because there is faith, and then there's supporting the church through attendance, and those can be separate things sometimes
absolutely.
For people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Colleen, how about you?
Absolutely. That faith is something separate from this whole thing for me. And I've had a little more time to process this. I am very empowered by my faith in relationship to the world. But I am no longer a Roman Catholic, and I wasn't a Roman Catholic when I worked for the church prior to this. They knew I was Lutheran at the time. But I had tremendous background in Catholic social teachings and work in this area. So I find the welcoming community in other denominations, the Episcopal and the Lutheran denominations, to be very supportive of my faith and also affirming of my gifts and talents that I bring to the service of God and God's people.
The controversy at St. Anne Parish is my topic this morning. 816-235-2888 is our phone number. Let's go back to some calls here. And George from Overland Park. George, you're on Up to Date.
Yeah, I just wanted to make the comment. According to the Bible, Jesus said that the most important teaching was to love one another, yet the church constantly excludes people. And I won't go back to church until that stops happening. It's not just the Catholic Church. It's all churches that condemn this, condemn that. I had an uncle whose wife walked out on him 30 years ago, practicing Catholic, stop going to church because he felt like an outcast, but sat home and prayed the rosary every day.
Yeah. Thanks for calling, George. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ross tweeted us this, being anti-gay is the last acceptable discrimination for religious people. Let's go to Kathy from Raytown. Kathy, you're on the show. Nice to have you.
Thanks for answering my call. I just wanted to say that even though I do not support the school and I do support LGBTQ, I don't feel that us kind of forcing what we believe are the rights of others on a religious group or on a group where you need to be accepted to be a part of it will help the situation. I feel like we also have to accept that what their opinions are and then just choose to not financially support that institution by sending our kids there.
Interesting comment, Kathy. Colleen, I can't help but think that there is this notion you hear in Catholicism. I'm Episcopalian, so I'm close. But Catholicism being once a Catholic, always a Catholic. Kathy's comments, for some people, easy to say, but harder to practice in reality.
Absolutely. I think this notion of withholding money from the church is an interesting notion. I do not see in the American church that changes things in any way. They have clustered their parishes. They've diminished the number of priests that are serving those parishes, and they're traveling priests. So it's getting more and more difficult. If you withhold your money, it doesn't transfer over into Rome's policies as far as I've figured out on that.
Tom Roberts from the National Catholic Reporter, do you agree with that? I mean, if people, in theory, would rise up and protest in significant numbers, wouldn't the dollars begin to speak in some way? I hate to bring money into a matter of faith, but I'm just wondering.
I don't know. Money's a very important part of it. Mm-hmm. I think that I have not seen the incident, and we've covered it a lot, where you can gather enough people to make that difference.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, one of the things I think Catholics in the United States have to be aware of is that there are people with a lot of money who are influencing the conversation, and they're usually on the very conservative side of things. Can I also just address this
Please.
Whole idea of rules? And I think one of the things that especially is peculiarly American in the Catholic world is this idea that there are a tick list of what are being called orthodoxies that you have to click off if you're going to be inside the community. That's not tradition. That's a formulation that's evolved over primarily the last 30 to 35 years.
Right.
The real tradition is far more forgiving and grace-filled and merciful.
Huh.
And I'm talking about traditions that go back to Francis, St. Francis, and St. Benedict. And
so what's been the disconnect in the American church then?
Well, I think that we want real clear lines. We want clean lines. And I think that a lot of it emanates from the reaction, especially during the John Paul II papacy, to Vatican II wanting to square the lines. So that the metaphor for the last 35 years has been, let's make sure the community is clearly defined, make sure who's in and who's out. Francis comes along, and I know there are lots of arguments with him on different issues, including this one. But he says, no, the new metaphor is accompaniment. You blur the lines when you do that. And I think that if you go into the heart of the gospel, the rules we have to realize, I mean, there were rules about usury. You couldn't make interest. The rules about slavery was acceptable. The church fathers thought women were malformed males. We know we had the earth as the center of the universe.
Huh.
The unchanging institution indeed changes constantly. The perfect society is not perfect. And so I don't have a program for how that changes, but we also know that there has been significant change.
Well, we're going to take a short break here and come right back to this issue. And I hope Claire, Janice, Kathy, and Sam hang on our phones here. When we come back, we're going to talk about why this Pope hasn't offered more in terms of help to folks who disagree with what's happening over at St. Anne. A lot of folks were counting on this Pope to be a little bit different, and they wonder why he hasn't. I'm Steve Kraske, and you're listening to Up to Date on 89.3 KCUR. And we are back. I'm Steve Kraske. Brian McTavish and his weekend to-do list coming up later on this hour. Yesterday on the show, we talked with a former sentinel at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. He helped us trace that monument's history and importance. You can hear that in other previous episodes at kcur.org/up-to-date. Tomorrow on the show, Congresswoman Charisse Davids opens a Wyandotte County District Office today. Tomorrow she'll join us to talk about how she's made herself more accessible to constituents in underserved parts of her district. That's tomorrow on KCUR's Up to Date. Well, this hour we're spending most of it talking about the controversy at St. Anne Parish, where a kindergartner was denied admission to the school because her parents are a same-sex couple. I'm joined by Tom Roberts, executive editor of the National Catholic Reporter based here in Kansas City. Karen is a former student at St. Anne's who now is in a same-sex relationship. Colleen Simon was fired from a Kansas City Catholic food pantry in 2014 after her same-sex marriage became known. Lots of people want to join our conversation. Let's go to some of them now. Claire from Westport, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I graduated from St. Anne's in 2001, and we had a similar ethical situation. Our science teacher, the middle school science teacher, was 23 years old and became pregnant out of wedlock. The school brought all of the children together and told us that we were going to be losing our science teacher because she didn't follow Catholic values. After searching for 2 months for a new science teacher, we were brought into the same auditorium and told that we would be allowed to keep this science teacher because she had gotten engaged and they couldn't find anyone else for us. So
Stadiums
only really follows these rules when it's convenient.
Yeah.
And as for the child who didn't get into the school, I would say he's probably better off, or she.
Yeah. Claire, thanks for the call. Tom Roberts, you recall that incident by any chance?
Yes, and by God, once in a while we can discover God's mercy, can't we?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go to Kathy from Kansas City, Missouri. Kathy, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I also feel very sad for this family that was sent away. 17 years ago, when my child was in kindergarten at a Catholic school in Kansas City, he came home from school and he said, "Guess what, Mom? One of the girls in my class has two mothers. Isn't that cool?" And there was a gay, they were a gay couple, went all through kindergarten through eighth grade, never questioned. Everyone was welcoming. And I would encourage this family to go seek other Catholic schools to have their child attend. It was never made an issue, and it was a wonderful experience.
All right.
And I wanted to mention that.
Kathy, I'm glad you called. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Janice from Bonner Springs. Janice, you're on the show.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I am not Catholic, but I was once a proud Kansan. And this, like so many other recent examples, has caused me to not be so proud. This issue at St. Anne's, the example of a Kansas bishop in western Kansas putting a known pedophile priest very close to a school without even notifying the town. The recent Methodist vote that we're all familiar with from last month. And also right there in Overland Park, also about the mosque and the building of a mosque. It's just another example of how full of bigotry and hate the state of Kansas is, and it's really sad.
Janice, thank you for the call. Nice to have that. And Sam from Parkville. Sam, you're on Up to Date.
Good morning. I would just like to mention or make note of the fact that I went all through Catholic schools. My kids went through the Catholic schools. And by the time my kids went through, the large amount of the children that went there weren't even Catholic. And their parents wanted them not in so much of a Catholic school. It wasn't about the Catholicism. It was they wanted them in a private school. Hmm. So now if you have children that aren't even Catholic going there, how are they going to live up to Catholic values if they don't even really know what those values are? So it's a big business, the Catholic Church is, and it is come down a lot to money.
Right.
So, you know, if you're going to, I agree with the man who first talked about, if you're going to hold these values, you better be checking out every parent and what they're doing outside of, in their life, if they're
right,
going to do this to people. But really, it's gotten more about private education than Catholic education, I think.
Sam, thank you for the call. You know, Colleen, what about this notion that so many Roman Catholics were hoping for something a little different from this current pope, and there's disappointment, at least in some quarters, about that. What's your sense of that?
I think Pope Francis is a wonderful gift to all faith leaders in the world, and I also think that, like President Obama, you can be at the top and have change in your heart, but you have a whole structure beneath you that you have to get through to make changes happen. And we have seen some changes happen in Rome. He's the Pope. He is the Pope, and he helps shepherd the church. Mother Church is like a grand old lady. She moves very slowly, but she does move. And we have seen some movement in the area of divorced Catholics and beginning signs that there is going to be more inclusion for those that in the past have been terribly excluded. Mm-hmm. As someone mentioned, that their parents stayed home and prayed the rosary. It's deep within people to want to be in the church, and the church is now finding ways to include those people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't ever say anything negative to people that want to stay in the Roman Catholic Church, even though the church doesn't always love them back in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Because we pray that the Spirit will affect the church and bring the change that needs to happen, or the rediscovery of the church's roots in God and God's love.
Yeah. Tom Roberts from the National Catholic Reporter, could the Pope does he have the authority to speed up this sense of change that we're talking about today?
Well, Colleen spoke some very wise words there, and the underlying truth is that popes are popes, but they really don't have nearly the power that a lot of people think they have. He has been talking about reform of the clergy culture since the day he was elected, and fierce resistance. And then he runs into this maelstrom of the sex abuse crisis. He can't decree these kinds of changes.
Why can't he explain that to me? He's the Pope.
Yeah, he's the Pope. We wouldn't want popes just unilaterally declaring all kinds of things. And we went through a period where, certain elements in the Catholic community wanted us to take everything that came out of a pope's mouth as infallible. That's a dangerous precedent to set. I think you need, I mean, there's theology behind this. It may be bad theology. It may need renewal. But you need also consensus. And I think one of the things that's underlying this that gets at, makes us a little, those of us who think it's a bad decision to keep kids out of school is the presumption that we know the mind of God so well. So well that we know that God would want this child excluded from the community.
Yeah. Anna from Kansas City, Missouri, you're on the air. We're talking about the controversy at St. Anne Parish in Prairie Village. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to comment on the question about what things like this do to your faith. And I'm LGBTQ. My faith in God is not shaken by any of these things. But my faith in the people who run the churches is.
Hey, Karen, I gathered you were saying something similar in our first half today. Do I have that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. My faith has not wavered, but my faith in the Catholic community, in the Catholic Church, is definitely affected.
Anna, I'm glad you called. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're welcome. Well, I was going to say, I think a lot of gay people experience the same feelings, and it you tend to shy away then from going to church, and the church doesn't benefit from that, and neither do gay people of faith. Mm-hmm. And it's just sad that the church wants to push people out for loving someone of the same sex.
Anna, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Gary from Kansas City, Missouri, you're on the air, Gary.
Yeah, I know Craig Maxson, Father Craig Maxson. I have known him for 15 years or so, and I think he's a good man. I was curious, what's his position? I don't see him often anymore, but I do believe, he would have a significant input. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Tom Roberts, Father Maxim, if I understand right, asked for guidance from the Archbishop in this matter and sort of went from there. Do I have that right?
Everything we know in terms of what he's posted online and the letter that he sent to his congregation was that, he sought guidance, and this was the guidance he got, and that's where we're going.
Mm-hmm. So as we begin to sort of wind this segment up here, it sounds like these are the positions, and no one should be holding his or her collective breath that anything's going to change here, Tom. We have run this story, and it's going to stay where it is.
That's my impression, and for people who are really looking for a different Catholic experience, church shopping is something that happens these days. It used to be nationality parishes, neighborhood parishes. Everybody was in one place and stuck there. That doesn't happen anymore. So, maybe there is a community out there where this would not be the decision, where there'd be a lot more discretion about, a child. I mean, I think, one of the approaches even pastors will take is, would we ever refuse to baptize a child? Mm-hmm. And the answer is no. Well, if you wouldn't refuse to baptize, how can you refuse to educate?
Yeah.
So I think we allow, some pastors will allow God a little more leeway and flexibility in judging these matters.
Okay, we're going to let that be the last word. That was Tom Roberts, executive editor of the National Catholic Reporter, based here in Kansas City. Karen joined us, a former student at St. Anne's, now in a same-sex relationship. Colleen Simon was also here, fired from a Kansas City Catholic food pantry in 2014 after her same-sex marriage became known. Thank you all for sharing your views today. I sure appreciate it. Good conversation.